creeping up on time for our daily lectionary study, looking at Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 45, diving into Mark for this Lenten season. And today, Mr. Andy Bates is going to be taking care of you, hosting the show with special guest, Pastor Neil Wamos of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Ida Grove, Iowa. The reason Andy's hosting for us this morning is I'm taking a little vacation day, so my thanks to Mr. Bates. He's a great boss. I'm a lucky guy. You should support Worldwide KFUO just for Andy. Let me tell you, man, what a dude. Anyhow, God willing, he's laughing and embarrassed right now, but we're going to go ahead and read Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 45. And immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went outside to a desolate place where he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it, and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. Again, diving a bit deeper in just a few moments, rightly distinguishing law and gospel for you with Pastor Neil Wamos of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Ida Grove, Iowa. You're listening to his time on Worldwide KFUO. Stick around.
Listening to His Time, I'm Andy Bates, sitting in for Pastor Jonathan Fisk, enjoying some well-deserved time off today. Time now to study our daily lectionary. Our guest today, Pastor Neil Wamos of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ida Grove, Iowa. If I recall correctly, fairly new to St. Paul and Ida Grove. Pastor Wamos, welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be on.
Glad to have you.
I just got installed on Sunday, so very new.
Well, thanks be to God. And how are you getting settled in there in Ida Grove, Iowa?
Pretty good. This week, first half of the week, I was wrestling with the computer, and that was always fun. But probably a good thing that Ash Wednesday was middle of the week, because I really did need confession after that. But yeah, things are going good. And I'm excited for what God has in store here. So, a lot of ministry opportunities.
So you begin your new pastorate there at St. Paul with this season of Lent, a penitential season, and gathering with the saints to hear God's word and to receive his good gifts leading up to Holy Week and that celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. We are in Mark chapter 1 today, verses 29 through 45. As we prepare to look at this text, anything you'd like us to know as we get ready to dig in, Pastor?
Well, as we are in the Gospel of Mark, there's a few themes that kind of recur throughout. Well, the Gospel of Mark has a couple themes that go through it. I was kind of, last night, I was listening through to the podcast the last two lectionary readings. And so especially on Wednesday when Pastor Mize was on, and they're talking about the intentionality of the Gospel of Mark. And what is really interesting is that you do see this intentionality with you're going to see this right away in verse 29, is that use of the Greek word euthus, which means immediately. In the Gospel of Mark, it shows up 41 times. So, and where you see that intentionality is it's constantly coming up. I mean, in chapter 1, there's 11 occurrences just in that first chapter. We're going to have a few occurrences this morning. And so it's kind of showing that, you know, Mark's gospel, it's like it's always in a hurry. And then it stops at Mark 15, which is when Jesus is on the cross. All of a sudden, Mark is no longer in a hurry. And you also notice, and there's probably a few other things that could kind of come in, but I'm going to bring that up a little bit later as we go through the text. So.
All right, let's dig in. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. So immediately he left the synagogue, entered the house of Simon and Andrew, back to verse 29 with James and John.
Yeah, so right away you have that, as I talked about, that word immediately, right away it's there. And so, like, one of the things I was actually thinking about this is, going to that word is, we are in Lent, and so we're going through the daily lectionary. And the question I had to ask right away was, why do we have Mark's gospel as the read-through for Lent? Because you, basically, through the daily lectionary, you're going to go through the entirety of the gospel of Mark. I'm sure it's going to skip over a couple verses here and there, but it's going to go through all of Mark up until Holy Week, and then Holy Week is going to go into Hebrews. And so why is this the one in Lent? First off, I'm sure some of it has to do with the fact that it's the shorter of the Gospels. I'm sure part of that's the reason. But the other thing is that it is that immediate, that hurrying that's there. And I think, and I'm going to kind of get to this in a little bit, that that word immediately is actually almost telling you, directing you to the cross. It's directing you, it's hurrying you to the cross to a certain degree. And I'm going to talk about that again in just a little bit here. So,
now,
we could probably do this kind of like in a paragraph at a time, I think.
Sure. Well, Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them.
I find this is kind of interesting the way this whole thing works out. So, first off, just kind of a little historical note. This does let you know that Peter was married, the fact that he had a mother-in-law. So,
good point.
anything history had it that his wife was crucified just before Peter was crucified. And so, but anyways, I think it's amazing that this, you know, I think about the right now, actually, if you hear me sniffling or coughing at any point, it's because I have a cold. And so when I'm sick and I get better, my thought is not immediately to get up and start working. My thought is usually, slug it along. It takes a few days to actually get into that work mode. But here, I mean, this is actually showing the just absolute completeness of the healing that Jesus did, is that he didn't, you know, it wasn't just like, she just got a little bit over the fever. It left her to the point that she was able to just pop up and start serving. And I mean, that tells you something about Simon's mother-in-law, that she does that. But it does show just how much that fever left, that she had the energy to just get up and do that. And there's even maybe something, there's kind of a I don't know if I should go into this direction or not, but there is even that kind of that thing that when, you know, we are afflicted with sin, we're afflicted with that. Jesus, when we receive the forgiveness of sins, it begs us to do exactly what Simon's mother-in-law did, and that is to go serve and to respond, to react to the gospel, to the grace that we've received. And it, you know, it just compels us, it pushes us to want to serve in whatever capacity it could be. Because here in the case of, you know, Simon's mother-in-law, she's serving Jesus and the disciples. And service in the church, you know, you become a member of the church, you come into a congregation. Before you're baptized, you are a poor, miserable, wretched sinner. You're dead in your trespasses. And the pastor says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You become a member of that church and you start growing up in that church. As a child of God and you are a member of that congregation, hopefully you look for ways to serve. It might be that you're a trustee or you're, you know, cleaning bathrooms or altar guild, whatever. And so when that fever of that sickness of sin leaves us, hopefully it compels us to serve in whatever capacity. Maybe not the congregation is just an example. Maybe it's something else, but definitely can see that call to, that hopefully would see this as an example of what hopefully we feel that same compelling when we receive the grace of God.
So as the burden of sickness and sin is removed, we are left unhindered to serve.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's actually, you know, that's a good image, because, again, you know, when you're sick, especially as I think in any job, when you're sick, you don't want to do anything. And so that's the same thing. Our sinful nature does not want us to do anything. When God's grace comes, he removes that burden, and the Spirit pushes us. That's a good image.
Verse 32, that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him.
Okay, so this is a little bit of a callback to what happened in verses 21 to 28. I mean, it's kind of is. Because in 21 to 28, there is this unclean spirit, which was a demon, that Jesus cast out. And before this happens, there's what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And so this is something that's a very big theme in the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, the very first verse is the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That verse sets you down the road of the entire Gospel. The entire Gospel is about Jesus as the Son of God. And the thing that you see throughout the Gospel of Mark is that no one gets it. No one recognizes that he's the Son of God. And so you go into this, even with this intention, talk about that intentionality, is if you go to Peter's, his confession, in the other Gospels, it says, when they ask, who do you say I am? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Mark's Gospel says, you are the Christ. He does not include that phrase, Son of the living God. And I believe that was intentional. And you another example is you jump all the way to the resurrection account, and to Mark 16. If you look at your ESV, if you have an ESV, verse 8 is where, after verse 8, it says that most manuscripts do not have the following verses. And so it's pretty well argued that verse 8 is the original ending for the Gospel of Mark. And if you want a good study on that type of conversation, I believe that Pastor Fisk might have done something on that on Worldview Everlasting, and they could probably check that out. But verse 8, the last verse is, and they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And so you see that nobody in the entire Gospel of Mark gets it, except for one man, except for one human being, and that was the centurion who oversaw the crucifixion of Jesus and said, this is the Son of God, the person you don't expect. And the other people that know is the demons. They know who he is. Right there, he says it. They know who he is. And it is actually probably a good explanation, kind of good way to talk about the difference between knowing that Jesus is the Son of God and actually believing in him. Because as James says, the demons believe and believe that there is a God and they shudder. The demons believe that, in fact, they know that Jesus is God, but they don't like him. And so there is no faith. And so, like I said, he does not permit them, the demons, to speak because they knew him. It's kind of like he's wanting the people to make that confession. And we also see how they react when the demons are the ones that are confessing it, is the people don't react the way they should. So like I said, this is one of those things with Mark, and this is kind of going into why Mark is such an appropriate gospel for the season of Lent, is because nobody gets it. Everybody keeps coming short of understanding what's going on. And even, like I said, going back to Peter, even though Peter made that great confession, you get the idea from Mark's gospel that Peter did not really know what he was saying. And you actually figure that out within the very next paragraph where he gets rebuked. And so, you have this. So that's where, that's where I go onto that. So,
anything else up through this verse 34, Pastor, before we look at Jesus preaching in Galilee?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
Let's take a quick break before we get to that, before we head to Jesus preaching in Galilee. We're studying the daily lectionary with Pastor Neil Wiemus of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ida Grove. If you have a question or a comment today, send me an email, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a moment here on His Time.
Human trafficking is modern-day slavery, and it happens in our own communities. Victims can be any gender, age, or race. Join the Department of Homeland Security's Blue Campaign to learn how to recognize and report this heinous crime. Visit our website at www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign. That's www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign. Your second look could be their second chance.
I know legal stuff can seem expensive and complicated. That's why the Missouri Bar provides you resources like missouri.freelegalanswers.org, a live stream of our high school Constitution Day program, and free legal forms that make your end-of-life decisions known to your family in case of a medical emergency. Visit us at missourilawyershelp.org for these resources and more, because Missouri lawyers are here to help you. Brought to you by the Missouri Bar.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates, sitting in for Pastor Jonathan Fisk. We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Neil Wemos of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ida Grove, Iowa. We are in Mark chapter 1 today, verses 29 through 45, picking up at verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. So, rising very early in the morning, it's still dark, he went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Pastor, is that what you do? You get up very early, go out to a desolate place while it's still dark and pray?
No, getting up early in the morning is a stretch for me. It's a challenge.
Well, thanks for making the sacrifice today.
Yeah. I should make the comments to some people that I get up early one day a week. That's church. So I'm more of a night hawk. So, but actually, kind of a nice little teaching from Jesus is that idea, though, of rising very early in the morning to pray. And I've never totally succeeded at doing this, but in the monastic orders, they have the daily offices. And so if you pull out your Lutheran service book, you have Matins, you have Vespers, you have Compline. Those are only three of those offices, and I can't remember all the names of them, but off the top of my head, but I know there's basically it starts at midnight. So midnight is when you're supposed to do Matins. And then you have another one at 3, 6, 9, noon, 3, 6, 9. And so every 3 hours, and so 6 o'clock is 6 p.m. is Vespers and 9 p.m. is Compline. And I've tried to do that, like go a whole day of trying to do all those prayer offices. And I do pretty good until I get to that 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock one in the morning. And it just absolutely fails. But it is actually, it's a great discipline to wake up very early in the morning and just pray. And it's, you know, this is the whole idea, even the idea of, in Matins, in our hymnal, the very first words are, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise." And there's two reasons that that's there. Is one is recognizing that we can't do our worship is ultimately a moving of the Holy Spirit. of our own sinful nature, we cannot worship God. We will not worship God. But it's also kind of the fact that when people were doing the services, a lot of times they would be tough. When they came to Matins, they were just exhausted. Many of them were very sleepy and tired, and it was them praying to God, I could barely keep my head up. Lord, move, open my lips, carry me through this service. And the thing is, it's a way of teaching your body to, even in your mind, to put God above your devotion to our Lord, above something as simple as something like sleep. And I mean, you know, we're in the season of Lent, and you know, people are all about giving up things. And I'm not saying don't fast on sleep. That's a very bad idea. but I mean, even that idea of breaking your sleep for a little bit to wake up and pray is a worthy discipline to teach us, to show that sleep is the thing that we probably put the greatest dependency on. But to break our sleep to pray is to teach us that even there, God is who we are to depend on, even above our beds. So I think we can continue on from that part.
There. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons.
Okay, I kind of find this kind of funny, because I always feel like there should be like a director's cut out of this scene where they show the disciples' faces because they say they're all looking for you. And he says, well, let's go to the other town. They're probably like, what? They want to see you. You're going to leave? So, that's really surprising. Everyone is looking for you. Let us go to the next town. And this actually reflects something. This is something that kind of comes up in many of the Gospels, is that this whole thing that, you know, people become, they follow, they come to Jesus only because of his miracles. It has nothing to do with who he is. They want him to do these really cool things. And especially, like, I think in John's Gospel, especially after he does the feeding of the 5,000, you know, they come out and they seek after him, not because he gave this incredible teaching and preaching on the side of the sea. They came after him because he made a really good meal. And this is, so there in verse 38, you see the reason Jesus came was, he says that he says, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there, for that is why I came out. So while Jesus does a lot of amazing miracles, a lot of incredible wonders, that is not why he came. He came to preach the good news, the gospel. And this is the thing with Mark is, you know, all the gospels in their own way center their gospel in the cross. You know, you look at like John does it by the fact that Holy Week pretty much covers half the gospel. For example, in Mark, the way it is doing it, it's setting it up by two ways, at least I've observed at this point. There's probably others I haven't noticed. But one, as I've mentioned, is that use of the word immediately. You know, Mark is always in this hurry, and all of a sudden he stops. He's all of a sudden taking his time in chapters 15 and then that little bit of 16. And then the other thing is that Son of God thing, that nobody recognizes that he is the Son of God until that centurion. And the reason he recognizes the Son of God is because he's hearing Jesus speak from the cross. So he is seeing the cross, and it's the cross that reveals it to him. And so similarly here, so Jesus, he did not come to perform miracles. And this is a very hard thing for us to realize, is that when we pray to God, this is the hardest part of praying. And as a pastor, especially when I go to a, you know, visit a member in the hospital, is you have to, you say, Lord, if it be your will, heal this person. That is so hard to say because you are acknowledging that God may not heal this person. But you're also recognizing that whatever God's answer is, it's going to be better. And so here you're seeing that Jesus did not come to perform miracles. This is why he doesn't heal everyone that comes to him. This is why he doesn't always heal us when we pray to him. Because that is not why he came. He came to preach the gospel. And it's, and I think it's very interesting is that, you're going to get into it. I don't know if you guys are going to read this at all because it's tomorrow's lectionary. And so, but on chapter 2 is the healing of the paralytic, where Jesus, the first thing he does is forgive his sins. And it's notable that Mark has it this early in the gospel, whereas I think both Luke and Matthew have it in the 9th chapter or something like that. It's kind of in the middle. And whereas, like I said, Mark has it very early, emphasizing that the preaching of the forgiveness of sins is the very central reality of who Jesus is, why he came. And, you know, if he heals you, that's awesome. Give thanks to God when that happens. But understand that is not our biggest need, because when we get better, we're just going to get sick again. And I can tell you, you know, as I'm battling, I mean, it's not as big as cancer or something like that, but as I'm battling this little cold, I had 2 colds last January. It's been a miserable winter. And so I got healed of, got over 1 cold, and another one's, you know, just waiting in the wings. And so that's, you know, God heals someone, you're going to get sick again. The only way that sickness ends is with the forgiveness of sins. And that is what Jesus came to do. So I think we could jump into that next paragraph there.
Verse 40, and a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it, and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. So a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling, said, if you will, you can make me clean. What does this say of the leper?
Yeah, this here you got it. You know, it's kind of an interest. This is actually, I think this is the gospel lesson. I mean, Matthew's account of it was the gospel lesson just a couple weeks ago. And so you have this faith that people, I mean, there is a certain kind of faith in Jesus, but at this point, it is just that faith of the fact that he can heal them. And let's go to 41 as well here. It says, moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. What is, I think it's just absolutely, think about like the life of a leper. A leper has to be one of the most, leprosy has got to be just one of the most miserable diseases there had to have ever been, because nobody wanted anything to do with you. Nobody wanted to touch you. There were people who were so afraid of you that they wouldn't even let your shadow touch you. Lepers would never touch other lepers. I mean, we don't know how long this guy had leprosy, but we know that, I mean, it's got to be, you know, probably years and years. So for years, nobody had ever even touched him. And I think we severely underestimate how important human contact is. I mean, it's you know, they do those, they've done studies about it. Like if you're a waitress or a waiter, one of the best way to actually get better tips is to make some physical contact with the customer. Like if you maybe, you know, quick, just tap them on their shoulder or whatever. Now don't, I know there's some people might be really phobic, so be careful about that. But if you do that, apparently you get better tips. I mean, there's all these little, if you're sick, you could get better by just somebody, you know, touching you. Human contact can help you better, get better faster. So the idea of not having any human contact for so long. And the thing is that so when Jesus heals him, he could have healed him any way he wanted. He could have just said, yeah, you're good. See you later. Go have a good day. He could have done any of a number of things, but he made sure that he stretched out his hand and touched him. And this is even showing that Jesus does not care about opinion. Because I guarantee you that every person that saw him do that was gasping. Like, you touched a leper? Jesus, do you not know how contagious those people are? I can't believe it. There's probably people that as soon as they saw Jesus touching that leper were avoiding Jesus just because they're afraid they're going to get leprosy. And nonetheless, he touches this man. And I could not imagine just how much, what that would have felt like for that man to feel somebody touch him for the very first time. And that's the way Jesus chose to do it. It shows, I mean, Pastor Fiske and Pastor Mize brought it out on Wednesday that, you know, Mark's gospel, Jesus is a little bit harsher throughout the gospel. He just, I mean, there's a point, like I think there's a later point where somebody says, if you can cast out this demon. He's like, if I can? It's got the, like, he's shocked that they are asking if he can do this. And so you see these points where Jesus just kind of is astonished by unbelief. But you still have this moment that is just absolute incredible compassion. That, it's okay. This is kind of me being a nerd here. The character I always think of in comic books is, if anybody's ever read the X-Men, there's a character named Rogue, and she's a character who her powers is that if she touches somebody, she could put them into a coma or whatever. And so I think of that character and how she's never able to have any human contact. And every now and then they do this little story where her power's temporarily removed and she has this incredible feeling of somebody just holding her hand is, you know, just incredible. And so here, like I said, that's what, for anybody that's a comic book fan, there you go. I'm giving you a connection point.
We have just about a minute to wrap up this paragraph before we wrap up here, Pastor.
Let's go through that, the rest of it.
So moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and said to him, I will be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him. He was made clean. Jesus charged him, sent him away at once, said, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded you for a proof to them. But he went out, began to talk freely about it, spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. People were coming to him from every quarter.
All right, so just kind of to close off on this is that here again, he's telling them, do not tell, he certainly charged him, you know, to not tell anybody about this. And this is because Jesus wants to be known for his preaching, not for his miracles. And he did go out and it showed that happened. Everybody came all around Jesus for the purpose of the miracles and not because of his teaching. And see, the thing is leprosy is there and it's very fitting disease because it covers your entire body and it makes it just like our sin covers us. And when Jesus reaches out and touches us with his word, with his baptism, with the sacraments, you know, and especially the sacraments, water, you know, the baptism, the water touches you, is applied to you. That is our God reaching out, stretching out his hand, touching you, and saying, be clean. And he cleanses us of every last sin, cleanses us of death, cleanses us of, you know, everything. And so, you know, you see what he did for this leper. This is what he does to us every time we hear the word, every time we receive the sacrament. And I think that's, you know, this is the compassion that, and I even think of the day that's going to come that he's going to reach out. He's just going to, when we face that last day, he's going to grab hold of us after however sick, however bad this world gets, and he's going to embrace us. So I think that's where I'm going to end that right there.
Our guest today, Pastor Neil Wemus of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ida Grove, Iowa. Pastor Wemus, thanks for helping us study in Mark chapter 1 today.
Thank you.
God bless you and all the saints at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ida Grove, Iowa. In just a moment, Creation Club Worldview Watch with Pastor Wirth. You're listening to His Time.